give us the launch codes. Hope you're all doing all right. We're not going to do the normal, we're not going to spend 30 minutes talking about like the local news or whatever, because we're actually filming this the next day. You know how it is starting a podcast. You got to like record a bunch of episodes like day of, and then give yourself a buffer, whatever. So in the interest of padding out more content, us armchair nobodies, Tom and I, Tom and Travis, that's who the two people are, we're going to be talking about just like random crap, and the random crap revolving around the culture of conspiracy theories and how I wish the actual government is as powerful, efficient, and competent, more importantly, competent, as conspiracy theorists make it out to be. I don't know how long this has ever been a thing in America. I don't know if it's like, maybe it's always been that way, but like there is a culture around the idea that, you know, conspiracy theories of the government doing things that people don't know about. Going as far, maybe it started with the Kennedy assassination, maybe it started with the Roswell incident.
Lincoln's assassination.
Lincoln's assassination.
Conspirators, conspiracy, all that fun jazz.
And now, you know, we're in an era where now, like, Elon Musk is in the process of, like, running significant parts of our government and probably has our social security numbers, of which, like, I will remind you that Elon Musk pretty much ruined Twitter. Like, I heard someone describe the way Elon Musk runs Twitter as, like, how a 12-year-old would simulate being an owner in Madden, like, yeah. Being a football, like, being a franchise owner. It's like that, like it's the real life version of that, and that's kind of when I was on Twitter, I could definitely attest to that, and I'm not on it anymore. I'm not on the platform formerly known as Twitter. So it's like, oh yeah, this let's have that guy being the guy that runs the Department of Government Efficiency, which is also known as DOGE, which, you know, that was done on purpose. So we just got like a clown show where America has turned into a clown show, and the government still scary, but scary in like, oh, this whole thing is just being run by like incompetent morons, not sinister masterminds that are always three steps ahead. And I'm like, can we go back to that, please?
If we ever had it.
If we ever had it at all. But can we, like, at least have a government that makes people think that again?
Is there a conspiracy that comes to mind for you that you would like to talk about, or one that's been on your mind?
Well, I've recently been watching The X-Files. Ran from 1993 to 2002. Huge hit in the 90s. My parents used to watch it, and my parents used to kick me out of the living room when they wanted to watch it, because it was too scary for me. And in fairness, I understand. If you don't know, that show's about like two FBI. Let me rephrase that. Have you watched Supernatural? Okay, so the X-Files is, imagine if Sam and Dean weren't brothers, but instead were platonic romantic interests that work for the FBI, and which would be Mulder and Scully, and instead of dealing with like angels and demons and shit, while also dealing with just your paranormal ghost and monster stuff, they were actually dealing with investigating the government for a possible cover-up of the presence of extraterrestrials, you know, Roswell shit.
It's a good opening theme.
I was going to say, that's not the theme song.
Oh, it's not? Okay, so I haven't watched that show in a while then.
It was like, doo, 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 doo.
Oh, yeah. That's scarier. Oh yeah, no, it's ever. I've watched like I think a couple episodes. It's been many years. I know. Yeah, the government is something that is a force to be reckoned with in that show. Plus, there's also scary shit that happens. Really, it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's like, okay. Yeah. I mean, it is. You know, it is like, you know, a horror monster of the week show combined with All the President's Men and 3 Days of the Condor. Like, it has a lot of elements of, like, 70s kind of post-Watergate type conspiracy thrillers. But, you know, there's just this, there is this expectation, there's this conceit in the show that not only the government is scary, that the deep state is scary. Well, like, one, that there is a deep state, and two, that the deep state is scary, and three, that the deep state is hyper-competent and always two steps ahead of you and could make sure that no one ever finds your body. Like, that, like, the quote-unquote government or the syndicate or the consortium, the deep state has, like, a lot of menace on that show. And now I'm at this point where we're entering our second term with Trump, and I've gotten to the point where I'm like, you know, I don't think there are aliens at Area 51. I don't think they actually did find an alien spaceship in Roswell. I think maybe it really was just a weather balloon. Because I think we would know by now. I think there is so much clown shit going on that I think that would have slipped. And we would find out that aliens are real. I mean, Trump is like, back when he was on Twitter, there were a couple of times where he accidentally revealed, like, classified information by, like, taking a selfie with Marines stationed in the Middle East or something. Like, I remember that was a thing.
Right. So there isn't a finger in our ass.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I'm even, like, I've gotten to the point where I'm like, yeah, maybe Lee Harvey Oswald really did kill Kennedy.
It was just a really good crack shot.
Maybe he really did curve that bullet somehow. I'm willing to accept that at this point. I never believed that, like, Bush, quote-unquote, did 9/11, more that he, and more importantly, Cheney, just kind of sat on their ass and let it happen. I used to think that. I used to think that they got the warnings about 9/11, and then they went like, mohaha, let's let the planes crash in the Twin Towers, and we can use that as a pretext to invade Iraq. Now? No, I don't even think that anymore. No, I think that they were warned, and they were just too incompetent to do anything about it. And then when it happened, they were like, oh, opportunity. Let's get that Arab oil. My faith in the competency of governments has, the hyper-competency of governments has dwindled. Yet there are so many people that believe in the craziest shit. And they still do. Like, when right before their eyes, they're being shown the kind of incompetence, the kind of clown shit that we're talking about, and that what seems to me is, like, people are just flying by the seat of their pants and no one knows what they're doing. But they think, no, they want to believe that there's something more organized and sinister going on.
And really, we're just holding on to the wheel, barely.
Did you ever believe in conspiracy theories?
Some I did. I mean, okay, speaking of 9/11, it just makes you think where it's like, really? We let something that awful happen? You know, Halliburton, all the money that was lost, the plane, how it hit specifically in this Pentagon building. Not the way the towers fell. I didn't believe that bullshit. The way they fell tells you everything.
Jet steels don't melt steel beams.
I just felt more just like, really? We let that slide? Like, yeah. with even in 2001, the tech we had, we let that shit slide. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Pearl Harbor. Really? Was it a smart move to put every effing ship in the Navy in one low, shallow water fucking harbor?
Mm-hmm.
When we knew Japan was on the move? There's certain things I believed in. I think the Oak Island one, I believe in that. I know that's not really governmental, but I believe there's something there.
I'm not familiar with the Oak Island one.
The Ark of the Covenant's there.
Oh, is that like is that where the big warehouse that we see in the Raiders is?
No, it's an island with underwater, like, sewage and tunnels and compartments and water, like, all this, like, really, like waterway crap. Like, underwater water tunnels and shit. Believe that. Just because it's like this. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Why is that system set up there? Like, you can't get into the well after draining the water, no matter what you plug up. That's kind of interesting. Roswell, kind of iffy. I feel like that one's too easy. Certain, you know, secret military bases scattered across the country. Yeah, come on. Like, yeah. Especially when you hear about, what was it? I think it was in 2000. Was it 2009 or 2010? I could be off. But when we found out Area 51 was legit real because of Google Maps, and a general came on the TV said, oh, we kept it quiet for tax purposes. Motherfucker, what are you talking about, tax purposes? What tax purposes? You can't get a write-off when taxes are paying you.
Wait, was that a thing?
Yes, that was on the news.
Like, was that a thing that, like, even the existence of Area 51 was, like, a myth until
Google Maps? So, Area 51 was, like, a big thing. Like, you knew there was a base there in the desert off of the Las Vegas Strip, mm-hmm. but you didn't know what, you didn't know how, but you knew something was there. And then Google Maps confirmed there is just, there's a military base there. And then when that was released, a general came on the news and was like, oh yeah, we kept it quiet for tax purposes. And in my head, I'm like this. We pay you. Your salary is taxes. Everything funding it is taxes. You can't get a tax break using taxpayers' money when you're the tax break yourself.
We were just self-dealing our own tax breaks.
It's like Monopoly. It's like you can't just keep feeding the effing pod and get free parking. That's not how that works.
It's like how the NSA, like, the government denied the NSA's existence to where it was nicknamed No Such Agency, and yes. then eventually the government says, no, we do have, like, a domestic version of the CIA. That is real. Next question.
Yeah, that's it. Our producer wanted to let us know that she heard about all that from Scooby-Doo. So that should tell you more. The Mystery Mobile. The Mystery Gang got it right. What I'm saying, there's certain things I believe in, other things I know that are complete, like, either, no, that's not true, or, like, you're a nutbag, like Pizzagate, like that nutbag shit, or the most well-known nutbag conspiracy, like you're just, I think, you really are a piece of shit to think that. Sandy Hook, that conspiracy one where they're all child actors, no one really died.
I'm just going to point out that we are not in a recording studio, we are in my apartment.
And that dog, which is our mascot, Tater Tot the mascot, is a happy puppy.
Yeah,
Corgi.
He's a little, I think his mama, I think my wife is using the bathroom and he's a little distraught over that.
Well, when you're a mama's boy, you need your mom.
Oh, yeah. And he is.
My kids are like that. Well, mom. And I just have to lie and say, mom's pooping. They just leave it be. But yeah, no, so I believe in some. Others I don't. Others are funny. Others are ridiculous. And others are just, yeah, you're a shitty person.
I kind of started getting disillusioned with conspiracy theories kind of when the Pizzagate thing was happening. When that went down and, like, you know, somebody thought there was, like, a pedophile ring happening underneath a DC restaurant.
And what was it? It was a Papa John's.
Was it really just a Papa John's?
It was a chain restaurant.
So, from Wikipedia, the Oxford English Dictionary defines conspiracy theory as the theory that an event or phenomenon occurs as a result of a conspiracy between interested parties. Specifically, a belief that some covert but influential agency, typically political motivation and oppressive in intent, is responsible for an unexplained event. It cites a 1909 article in the American Historical Review. The earliest known usage of the term conspiracy theory was by American author Charles Astor Bristed in a letter to the editor published in the New York Times on the 11th of January, 1863. He used it to refer to claims that British aristocrats were intentionally weakening the U.S. during the American Civil War in order to advance financial interests. The term is also used as a way to discredit dissenting analysis. Robert Blaskowitz. Yeah. Like B.J. Blaskowitz, but
Wolfenstein?
No. Is that what the B stands for? It's like Bobby? No. Robert Blaskowitz comments that the examples of the term were used as early as the 19th century and states that its usage has always been derogatory. According to a study by Andrew Mackenzie McCarg, that's quite a hyphenate. In contrast, in the 19th century, the term conspiracy theory simply suggests a plausible postulate of a conspiracy and did not at this stage carry any connotations, either negative or positive, though sometimes a postulate so labeled was criticized. The author and activist George Monbiot, I don't know who the hell these people are, argue that the terms conspiracy theory and conspiracy theorist are misleading, and conspiracies truly exist, and theories are rational explanations subject to disproof. Instead, he proposed the term conspiracy fiction and conspiracy fantasist. I like that, actually.
Wow.
Because I actually agree with that. The term theory gives it too much credibility. Theories are, because theory, that's like a scientific term.
I remember one conspiracy theory I learned from my dad that they thought, what was it, like fluoride's being put in the water in like the 50s and 60s?
Oh yeah, that's what General Ripper was fighting against in Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah,
protect our bodily fluids.
And yet we find out we need fluoride for the strength of our teeth later on now, like we need it.
That's what they want you to... It's just like a Dale Gribble from King of the Hill. That's what they want you to think.
Hey, okay, so speaking of Dale Gribble from King of the Hill, that's a conspiracy nut. Not a theorist or like you said, someone who just likes conspiracies. That's a nut.
That is a conspiracy fantasist, as the Wikipedia article says.
And Dale Gribble's a nutbag, and there's a lot of real... I like Dale Gribble. He's a nut, and unfortunately there's a lot of real-life nuts like him.
Except he's, like, probably more harmless than any of them.
He harms himself more.
Yes.
Fortunately, and unfortunately, the people in real life don't harm themselves a lot. They harm other people.
Yeah, and he loves his wife... And he loves and is very supportive of his wife and son, which mostly, like, conspiracy theorists are kind of conspiracy fantasists. I want to use those terms now. Conspiracy fantasists. I like that. Yeah, because I don't like theorists. I don't like the use of the word theory. It's because a lot of it's just kind of self-serving, you know.
Just to feel good about something.
Really. I have the secret knowledge that they don't want you to know about. I am special. Please make me special that I have the special knowledge.
Do you think they like that because they feel a little alone and they want to feel a part of something and feel smarter than actual academics and people with a degree?
Yes. There's also a reason why a lot of conspiracy theorists are also people that are into conspiracy fiction are very... there's a large correlation of those with, like, religion, that they're extremely religious. And it kind of goes along with, if you're, like, really religious, your entire worldview is dependent on the idea of big, powerful spirits in the sky, whether it's God. I mean, usually, like, if for our purposes, it's usually, like, it's the Christian framework, so it's like there's a God in the sky, and he's controlling everything, and he has a plan. Which doesn't really correspond with what I believe, of how the world works, which is a bunch of a decentralized clusterfuck of people making it up as they go, being reactive rather than proactive, and just kind of flying by the seat of their pants. But if you're like an evangelical or a fundamentalist, that doesn't quite go with your belief system, because in the end, you know, you always say it's all part of God's plan. If it's all part of God's plan, then, you know, it really isn't just a bunch of people making stuff up on the fly that happened to be a president or a prime minister or an ambassador or whatever. So believing in, like, you know, crazy deep state stuff, crazy stuff about, like, you know, fluoride and the aliens and, you know, the pedophile ring that combines all conspiracy fiction together, QAnon, that's helpful. That fits within your worldview, because, you know, you believe that about the spiritual world anyway. And yeah, it makes people feel good. It's like what you said. It's like, you know, it's something to use against the intellectuals, to make up for the fact that you were not smart enough to get good grades in school, or to appreciate what you were being taught, or to appreciate people. I think a lot of it is just like, I know more than you, and I don't like smart people. There are a lot of subjects in this world that I am not an expert on, that I do not know about, but I am always in awe of...
Those who are.
Those who have chosen to specialize in the study of something, you know, where it's like, I can certainly put more trust into what they say more than I. That's intellectualism. It's like...
So what you're saying is it wasn't God's plan to make PS5s really hard to get at the beginning.
No, I just think God has more interesting more interesting things to worry about.
Maybe we're not as interesting as we think we are.
No, I mean... you know, the universe is a big place, and if there are aliens, he's probably got to like tend to them as well. You know,
that would suck too if that was just it was just us in that vast void, like the flat Earth theory. Like it's just us. It's like oh well, that's boring.
Well, that's not the flat Earth theory. Oh, that's the
Earth is flat, and like we're in a bubble dome.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like we are the only habitable planet in the universe.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
The rare Earth theory, I think that's what it's called.
But I was saying the overallness of just it's just us in this bubble. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing even outside the bubble. There's nothing else inside the bubble. It's just us in a dome.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's kind of like, oh, that's boring. That sucks. In a sense of just like, that's it.
Yeah.
We discovered everything about what 200 years ago kind of thing and nothing much more else, and somehow we still can't figure out the ocean.
Yeah, I was going to say, we didn't actually discover everything.
Well, like, we didn't figure out the ocean.
Like, there's still a lot of stuff about the ocean we don't know about. We actually probably know more about space than we do about the ocean.
And speaking of the ocean, I've heard there is now a second species of orca discovered. So that's fun.
Really?
Yes, ooh. There are two orca species.
Which one is like, knocking over rich people's boats?
Could be both. They might be working together.
Because that's a thing.
They do seem to. But yeah, no, yeah, it was just, that's what it sounds like with conspiracy, what is it called, fanatics, you said? Fantasists. Conspiracy fantasists is just, it feels good. It makes you feel a little superior. You hate getting looked down upon, and yet, oddly, you'll look down upon others, which is a weird way of thinking that. But there's some fun ones.
Well, you're not doing it for egalitarian purposes.
No, but the thing is, there are some fun conspiracies out there to think about. And others that are just like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, there's no need for, excuse me, no need for that. And that's what makes it dangerous. Mm. Like, what happened with Pizzagate was dangerous. What happened with Sandy Hook, this is just, it's just dangerous thinking. And then election fraud. And then just overallness, you know, you just.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing that has taken hold of is specifically just the American people, our citizens, us, you and me.
Yeah.
Us, our fellow Americans. It's just like, some are fun. Some are like, you don't need to think. Then also, too, then it makes you paranoid. Like, you don't need to be paranoid that whole time. It's like,
we're 4 years out from the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, of which
those theories were batshit crazy.
Where, yeah, like, the vaccines aren't safe. And we still haven't recovered from that because we have...
nor we ever will.
We have... we got Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Doing the whole... Yeah, I don't like him either, Tater Tot. Yeah,
the mascot is weighing in with Dad.
He's going outside. He's leaving the room. But, like, yeah, you got like, a cuckoo bag like that running, like, Health and Human Services. Of which, you know, we talked about this. It's like he'll open up with something like... You know, hey, you know, there's a lot of, like, maybe not so great stuff we put into food and bottled drinks. You know,
which
maybe
we've been saying, though, since, like, the effing 50s and 60s.
Yeah,
there's
and...
nothing new. He's not saying anything new.
And it's like, that's fair, and if you've gone to other countries, like, last summer I went to, my wife and I went to our honeymoon in Ireland, and their soft drinks are not the same that they do here. In fact, like even their Pepsi, like or not their Pepsi, their Coke. Their Coke there is Mexican Coke. Like we like Mexican Coke is like, you know, Coke with sugar instead of like sweetener, artificial sweetener. No, it's just sugar. We call that Mexican Coke here. In Ireland, they just call it Coke. They just call it Coca-Cola. And like Fanta is completely different. Here, like Fanta looks like orange Gatorade in the U.S., yeah. Where it's like a translucent liquid that's orange, that's like bright, unnatural orange. And in Ireland, Fanta looks like orange juice. It looks like carbonated orange juice.
Really?
It's like, yeah, it does. It's like wow. it's thick. It's like opaque, and much like orange juice is. I think there might even be pulp in there. It tastes really good. It's like very sweet. It's even sweeter than like real than American Fanta. And that's because like in Ireland, a lot of crap and preservatives that we put into food and drinks, like those are banned. And I'm sure Ireland's not alone in that. So there, anyway, going back to Robert F. Kennedy, it's like he'll bring up, hey, there's a lot of crap he put into food. And you go, okay, yeah, he's got a point. That is true. And then be like, and that is why we should ban all vaccines. And you're like, oh, okay, now we're in cuckoo land. Now, lucky for me, I am a smart person, so I don't fall for that. But other people aren't. People be stupid. and they'll fall for shit like that. And that's like all the big conspiracy. It's like, you know, any big conspiracy peddler. Like an RFK, like an Alex Jones, they'll open with something that's like reasonable, and then they'll suck you into something crazy.
Which is one of our favorite songs. I don't like them putting chemicals into the water that turn the freaking frogs.
We got a
great song.
We gotta cut that. Yeah, we gotta cut that mix in.
Like I'm putting chemicals in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay. Do you understand that? Turn the freaking frogs gay. Serious crap. Frogs, friggin' frogs, bam. It's not funny. I'm gonna say it real slow for you. Gay frogs.
I think I showed that to you, and that was like your introduction to Alex Jones.
That was my introduction to everything Alex Jones.
That's a great way to introduce someone. If you must, which you probably shouldn't.
There's no need.
If you must introduce someone to Alex Jones, just show him the gay frogs video. What?
Tater Tot likes it.
Yeah.
You're going to be hearing the dog a lot, folks, because he's our mascot. Well, we're pretty low budget here, actually, so once we get that fancy studio, Tater Tot will still be with us. Doesn't matter what happens.
He's gonna take him with us. We're going to take him with us. That way,
Once we get our Spotify deal, by God, Tater Tot's going to still be in the motherfucking studio, in the recording studio. Tater Tot will come with us everywhere to interviews with other podcasters and all that.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. When I started watching The X-Files again, you know, kind of coming off this, like, you know...
Dogs.
Doggies.
No, yeah, no, we'll get... It's just...
I was coming off of this, I was coming off this whole thing about... Like, you know, coming off a whole, like, yeah, I'm kind of fed up with conspiracy theories. But, like, that's a huge part of that show, particularly with the character of Vox Mulder, played by David Duchovny. And then I kind of realized as I was watching it, it's like, okay, why is this working on me still? Why am I buying into this? And there's a few reasons why it works on The X-Files. And some people say, like, the fact that The X-Files engages in that crap means that, like, a lot of it hasn't aged well. But I think there's some substantive differences. Like, in that show, Mulder doesn't believe in conspiracy. If you don't know the show, the angle is like David Duchovny plays Agent Fox Mulder, and he believes in like a bunch of... He wants to believe. That's his theme. I want to believe. He wants to believe in a bunch of stuff about like the paranormal and government covering up the presence of extraterrestrials. And his partner / eventual love interest, Dana Scully, played by... Jillian Anderson, she's the skeptic, she has a medical doctorate, she's the one that kind of reels him back, being like, wait a second, there might be a plausible explanation to all of this, and then often there isn't, but, you know, his whole thing, he doesn't believe in a bunch of crap because it fills up some void inside him.
Right.
He believes in it because, like, in the universe, first of all, in the universe of that show, a lot of that is real. And the catalyst for his arc is that he watched his big sister get abducted when he was a kid.
Right, and so I remember that now.
So the thrust of his arc, at least for the first few seasons of the show, is that he's just trying to find his sister. That's what it, and so like everything he is researched and investigated and bought into, it's all in the pursuit of trying to find his sister based on something that he himself saw as a kid. It wasn't to fill some void to make him feel better. It was something more personal, more noble. And even then, like, his true motivation is to just find the truth. If he is presented with evidence that, like, contradicts what he initially believed, well, he's not going to shrug it off and be like, you know, have like an existential crisis over it. No. Like, he's like, oh, okay, that's what it is. And sometimes, like, he goes to a crime scene and he's like, yeah, I don't think anything outlandish is happening here. I've seen this before. This is just a run-of-the-mill case. And then the episode goes on and he goes, well, maybe it's not a run-of-the-mill crime case or whatever. You know, and I think that's a key, which kind of means that the show almost has kind of a skeptic's mentality of like, we gotta, you know, you actually do have to do some real investigating, and you have to be prepared to have your views challenged. You have to be prepared to have your worldview challenged, because that's the only way you're going to find the truth. And to me, that's what separates something like the X-Files from, you know, the people that maybe were inspired by the X-Files or at least felt like their anxieties were being touched upon, but just believed in a bunch of conspiracy fiction.
Basically, be careful which rabbit hole you decide to go down. There's no need to. Careful what you're reading late at night, especially on Reddit.
There are things to be scared of. Like, there are. There are things you should absolutely be scared of. And what, you know, what our political leaders are doing. But if you believe in something that's wrong, that's just blatantly wrong and not based in reality, they win. Because you're not focused on what they're really doing. What they are doing. If anything, it could just be a plot to turn us against each other. I just think of this one episode of King of the Hill where Dale Gribble is like, I think it's like the episode where their church burns down. And Dale Gribble is like taunting the fire marshal. He's like, oh, looks like it was an accident or a gas leak or something. And Dale says, that's what they want you to think. And the guy says, I am they. And then Dale runs away. He's like, ah!
Or the other one where Hank questions Dale. Oh, what was it? It was the NRA. The NRA is a Washington-based organization. And you believe in a Washington-based organization, Dale? That's a thinker. And now also comes time for that wonderful moment in every episode of Give Us the Launch Codes. A word from our sponsor. Travis, you know who our sponsor is today?
We have a sponsor?
We have another sponsor. Yes, a new one. Mm-hmm. Our new sponsor for this episode, red meat. Just red meat overall. Oh. Red meat. It's good for you. It's nice. Tastes good in a burrito. Tastes good in a sandwich. Tastes great over fries and chips, which is called nachos. Or carne asada fries. Enchiladas. Tamales. Empanadas. Steak. All that good stuff. Red meat. Don't have too much of it. Might give you diabetes. Don't have too less of it. You need it for the eye. Diabetes. Oh, look what happened to, what was it, Orson Welles when he had, what was it, two steaks a night?
Two steaks a night and two baked potatoes a night. Like, yeah. He ran on a diet like that.
Yeah. Plus all the scotch.
Plus all the scotch.
But yeah, so just everybody, I want to let you know that's our sponsor today. Red meat. Great to have. Red meat's great. We all love it. You can have it raw. You can have it well done. And if you're a weirdo, you can have it extra, extra, extra well done.
And then we will politely and firmly ask you to leave. if you ask me at my grill to give it to you that way.
You're getting it medium rare, and that's it. That's how steak should be.
Another King of the Hill joke. Bobby?
By the way, check out King of the Hill. Great episode. Great show. All right, let's see. Other conspiracies that are out there, just fun little ones. But any other TV shows ever have conspiracies and within their show?
Well, a more fun show I told you about that has, like, conspiracy. That would be Stargate SG-1. Ooh, and kind of the broader Stargate franchise as a whole.
What's their conspiracy?
The entire show is, like, it's not about people, like, trying to figure it out. It's just, like, oh no, you're following characters in a secret government program that no one knows about. Yeah, because, like, Stargate is about, like, we find this ancient device in Egypt that could travel to other planets, basically create, like, a wormhole that you could just walk through and boom, you're on another planet. It made for kind of a silly movie that Roland Emmerich directed in 94 with Kurt Russell and James Spader. And then it turned into a much better TV show that was like a sequel to that called Stargate SG-1. But the idea is like this is a secret government program to like send people to travel to other planets and do battle with evil space aliens that's run by the U.S. Air Force in like beneath the Cheyenne Mountain Complex in Colorado Springs. And there's episodes where they talk about like, oh, what would happen if this ever went public? It would be mass panic. We have to keep this a secret. And sometimes there's like an episode like when they want to save money and they don't want to build a set on another planet or whatever, they just have an Earthbound episode. Someone knows of the Stargate program's existence and we got to see what they're going to do with it because it's a threat to national security. It's a franchise I love a lot. It's maybe the greatest piece of U.S. pro-interventionist propaganda that's ever been made. Like in the first movie, like in the original movie, they're like, they go to like a desert planet full of like coded Middle Eastern people that are like being ruled by an alien that is posing as Ra, the sun god, and then all the military that's Marines, they're Air Force, whatever, you know what I mean, all the military guys, they give them like guns, they give them like automatic weapons, whereas like Star Trek, the theme is like, oh, we shouldn't interfere with other cultures, we should let them develop naturally, it's not our place to play God. In Stargate, the theme is your gods are fake, here's a machine gun, let's go kill them together. And so you just have these image of like these like these desert Middle Eastern coded people, even though it's technically another planet, but it's like a desert planet. One of them is like this kid and he's holding like an M16 up in the air, like, yeah, we're gonna fight back. And it's like, oh my god, the United States has just sponsored like a third world coup. And we're rooting for it, even though historically that's almost never ended well for us. But it's great. The franchise is great. And yes, it was on during our so-called war on terror when we tried to do that exact shit in real life. Two different results than how it's portrayed on television.
I got a conspiracy theory for you that is actually a real one. Hitler didn't die in 45.
Okay.
What was it? He died in 54 or 56. Like, he got out and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh.
I just know that's just a ridiculous, like, one where it's just like this. How about he's just dead? Who gives a shit? He did die. He died in the bunker. He died here. No, he got out to Argentina. He's alive, folks. I know that's just a silly conspiracy theory.
He lost, and it's like, hey, he lost. He hasn't done anything as of late. Like,
I remember hearing about that conspiracy theory in Hellboy. The first Hellboy movie, Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman, yeah.
Yeah, the first Hellboy movie where, the new guy is being told by the professor, just like, you know, the occult wars ended in 55 when Hitler died. It's like 45. He died in 45. Oh, did he now? I was like, I don't know. And the other conspiracy, there's something, there's more conspiracies with Hitler, too.
Yeah.
One, he found the Spear of Longinus, and that's how he became the main political power and dictator in Germany. Do you know what that is?
The Spear of Leonidas?
No, Longinus.
Longinus. I don't know
what that is. That's the one, it's the spear that punctured Christ on the cross. Oh. And whoever holds that, okay, the power grows tenfold. That's a real thing.
Okay,
yeah.
I think I've heard of that, yeah.
He found that. It's like Indiana Jones. He's like, yeah, I'm doing a war on three fronts. Indiana Jones. Hitler is doing a war on three fronts, but at the same time can fund a super well-equipped archaeological expedition team around the world to find all these hardcore religious artifacts like the Ark of the Covenant, the Spear of Longinus, and all this other stuff where, like, Hitler really believed in the occult.
In fairness, that movie took place... Those movies took place between the years 1935 and 1936. The original three, that is. So, that was before the invasion of Poland. They probably had some more money to spare at that point in time.
Until before the Blitz?
I imagine that in the universe of Indiana Jones, they pulled back... Well, actually, no, they did that shit in real life. They just didn't find anything. No, yeah, like
The Nazis really did hunt down for like religious artifacts while also in war.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't know if that was because they maybe some of them believed in mystical powers, but I think some of it was just, oh, this will offer us more legitimacy as like a master race power.
The Ark of the Covenant's a great weapon when you see it in real, when you see what it does. Just open it and everyone dies.
You can't exactly target it at anybody.
No, you just gotta send a group of people in, and they're like, well, those troops are gonna die when they open it, but everyone else around them will. It's
like, why did we use that? Why did we use the Ark of the Covenant when we attacked Japan? Just like, we'd open it
and drop it.
And then drop it from a plane? And then we wouldn't have like all this radioactive destruction, just a bunch of people. We'd have all these like disfigured carcasses.
Do you want to know why we didn't use the Ark of the Covenant, Travis?
Yeah.
Because if we didn't use the nuclear bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we wouldn't have anime and manga.
What do you mean we wouldn't have anime and manga? Of course we'd have anime and manga. They just
not what we have now. It'd be different.
Oh, it'd be different. We still have it.
There might be less tentacle porn. And that's a thing for people. Yeah. You can't take that away from them.
Oh, well, that's true. Or maybe we'll have more tentacle porn because of all the crazy...
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right.
All the crazy spirits.
You know, the occult and Cthulhu stuff, who knows? Yeah.
The,
so maybe it's a good thing we didn't drop it.
The people that just happened to have their eyes closed at the time but heard the horrors around them, they can only imagine what it was, and maybe some of them just imagined crazy tentacles.
You know what's funny? Speaking of that, it's a little side thing. I've almost done reading Call of Cthulhu.
Oh, how is that?
And I don't get how the fuck anyone got what they got from when you see like it in pop culture. Like how South Park makes fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
How, I remember even in high school people were like, oh yeah, Cthulhu. It's like, yeah. So,
octopus well, head man. Yeah.
It's yeah. Like, but it's like, it's this thing, bro. It's like, oh crap. And I'm reading the book. I'm just like this. I don't, yeah, it's just a criminal case and... just to want to find out a little bit more. So far, I still got to read chapter 3, but the first two chapters just, yeah, just weird shit's happening in the bayou.
Has Cthulhu made an appearance yet?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
So I'm got to read the third chapter still, but the first two, it's just more like, I don't get the hype of Cthulhu. It's just like, yeah, he's just there. All right, cool, he's a statue dude. People do some weird orgy-istic dances when they're around his statue, and he's somewhere in the North Pole or the South Pole.
Because what I've heard is, like how people know Cthulhu, like how he's depicted in pop culture, like, I was going to ask, like, how that squares up with how he's actually described in the book, because I've heard
It's the same. He's big. He's okay. Huge. He's huge. You know, tentacle head, dragon wings, anthropomorphic body. South Park has a very funny version of him. I know there was that movie with Kristen Stewart. I forgot what it's called, but it was basically like a different type of Abyss. That movie, remember the Abyss? The movie.
Oh yes, yes.
Ed Harris. It's like yeah. That. Bird Box apparently is a Cthulhu movie. Wouldn't have thought of that. But overall, it matches up. For example, just with the overall artwork of just him being super, super tall, this gargantuan monstrosity of a being. Tentacle face, dragon wings that aren't proportioned to its body, so it can't really fly, but he can fly, and the anthropomorphic body. Apparently, when you gaze upon him, and I think it has to be eye contact with Cthulhu, you'll lose your mind because of the overwhelming knowledge.
Okay, yeah, because I've often heard that, like, Cthulhu, the way...
And people do believe in this side, by the way, like the Lovecraftian gods, people believe this stuff really exists. Not just fun novella, science fiction fun. That H.P. Lovecraft made. Like, no, yeah, no, there's people out there who actually legitimately pray to the Lovecraftian gods.
Because, like, I've often heard and that, like, sometimes how Cthulhu describes his monsters is that he... or did I say Cthulhu?
H.P. Lovecraft.
H.P. Lovecraft.
Maybe he was Cthulhu all along.
Cthulhu wrote these books. Yeah, how H.P. Yeah. Lovecraft would write these stories is, like, he wouldn't be, like, so... It was almost like when you're reading him, it was like the form of the monster is like beyond human comprehension, and maybe
exactly.
And that's like why people so, like would lose their minds yeah. Seeing him.
Because the thing about cosmic horror, it's not the monster chasing you that's horror; it's the sight of it, and that is overwhelming to your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost basically like knowledge is the weapon to fear, because it's just it's too much for you to handle. Kind of like, speaking of Indiana Jones, in Indiana Jones, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, when Kate Blanchett's character finally talks to the alien and her head blows up.
Yes.
It's like that. Just the knowledge is too much for you. Yeah. That's what it is. That's what cosmic horror really is. I mean, there's other cosmic horror movies out there that are on that realm. Like, okay, Alien, but it's the monster chasing you. Yes, the knowledge of what's going on with that monster is scary as hell.
Yeah.
But the monster's still chasing you.
Yeah.
The
more thing, and more so with each movie. Yeah. It's just a monster chasing
the
you.
The Thing is another one that's close. The closest thing we'll have really is to, you know, as they say, the closest thing in cinema with The Mountains of Madness, another H.P. Lovecraft novella, is The Thing. Carpenter's The Thing with Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, the thing itself is the most terrifying monster ever created, but it's the knowledge of what it's done, how long it's been. You know, it's been in the ice for 100,000 years on this planet. The fact that it landed in Antarctica is the only thing that's keeping us safe. But what it's done, how many species on species across the vastness of space it's consumed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the monster is freaky, but it's the knowledge what brings to it. So the sight of Cthulhu is what causes insanity, because it's just looking at him is too much for our brains to comprehend. Not that, oh my God, there's a 100-foot-tall monster chasing me.
Because I've heard that was, someone described that with, I think it was in Red Letter Media. It was like when they talked about It, they said like, when you see It in its true form, and it's just... In the movie, both like the TV miniseries and the more recent movies, it's like it's just a giant spider. But in the book, apparently, the description is more vague about that, kind of barring from the idea of like it's like you cannot comprehend its true form.
It is
so alien that it's hard for a human being to describe.
And that's what leads to insanity. And that's the horror. The horror is the lack of being able to comprehend is what's the scariest thing.
Yeah.
And that's a truth scary thing. Thinking about it, that's a great way to, you know, keep turning it around too, back to conspiracies. That's the scary thing. You can't comprehend the truth of it. The unknown part. And you need a little blanket to make you feel better.
Yeah. It's like the knowledge that the world is a complicated place is too much for people to handle.
So they need to simplify it with some crazy BS.
Yeah, which they think is scary, but it's actually comforting. Yeah, no, it's okay. It's just a bunch of... It's just a bunch of sinister Jews running it all. We didn't even talk about that. We didn't even talk about how there's like...
Jews run Hollywood.
Well, we didn't even talk about like the layer, like how there's like a whole anti-Semitic... How most popular conspiracy theories... actually started off as just blatant anti-Semitism, and I feel like we kind of did a disservice to this discussion. Because that's a thing. I mean, that's like,
know
you know...
the big one is they had Jews run Hollywood. The Holocaust was never real.
Yeah. They run the banks and all of that, and that, and, you know, it all... And the core... There's actually, like, a document where a lot of that was kind of... Some of that had been, like, existed for, like, hundreds of years, but there is a document that a lot of that was codified. It was, like, a big hoax. It's called The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. And it was, like, an infamous hoax document that someone manufactured, but it was supposedly, like, I don't know, the great, you know, these, like, Jewish elders that control everything, and it's like their meeting minutes or something.
Like a Hebrew Illuminati?
Yeah, it was basically that. And it was... There's still, like, countries that accept that as, like, real. Even though it's not. Even though it's, like, a proven fabrication. But, like, and a lot of those countries are in the Middle East, sadly. It's, like... Well, it's sadly either way. But, there are countries that, like, teach that as, like, oh, yeah, this is what the Jews want. And they teach that as, like, a real thing. Henry Ford was kind of instrumental... in bringing that to the United States. Henry Ford, the guy who founded Ford Motor Company, you know, big American auto tycoon. Fun fact about that, he and Hitler were kind of buddies. He almost had a business deal. There was actually plans for them to have like a business deal for like Ford to start making cars for Germany. But they would be like small for German roads, because Hitler was like, hey, every German should have a car. And eventually that didn't work out, but it did prompt the creation of Volkswagen, the people's car, which is what that means. And that's how you got the VW bug.
Herbie the Love Bug.
That's how you got. Yeah, you can thank Hitler for Herbie the Love Bug.
For the great Disney movie Herbie the Love Bug. It's hilarious.
And so it's like now. So that's another thing. When I hear like some, when I hear like a conspiracy theory of like that implies some sort of unnamed cabal or like ambiguous consortium of people doing all the bad things in the world, I just want to say, you mean Jews, right? Just say Jews. Just say Jewish people. You mean Jewish people. Even if you don't actually think that, that is where you got that conspiracy from. Even if you didn't realize it, that's where you got it from. It makes as much sense.
As fluoride in the water.
As... Well, that does make sense. That actually does make sense.
That one makes sense. The other stuff's bad.
That actually does. The point is, it makes as much sense in that it doesn't at all. If you like believing in a lot of conspiracy fiction, there's a chance you might be two steps away from being a Nazi.
I also, too, if you like reading about it, just take it easy. Be calm about it. You don't need to go further. It's just fun ideas. Fun little random stupid stuff. Sometimes true, sometimes not. Sometimes silly. There are some silly ones out there. Fun, silly ones. Other than that, though,
but
just don't get too crazy with it, guys.
It's okay to believe that the world is a complicated place. It's okay to believe in that. You know,
there's not a bad group of people out to get all of us.
You will lead a healthier life if you wrap your head around that the world is complicated, and the people running it, the people with the nuclear launch codes, don't know what they're doing, which is why you should give those codes to us.
And stop reading online forums. Read more than just online forums. A lot of other stuff out there to read. And also just being outside. Read food.
Touch grass, as the kiddos say.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's a new phrase, right? Touch grass.
Yeah, go touch some grass.
Touch some grass, yeah. I've touched grass. Mm-hmm. I'm allergic.
Oh.
Oh yeah. I have a grass allergy, so I'm good not touching it. I'll just walk around.
That's why I have a dog, because that means I have to walk him, and then that also means that he absolutely has to walk on grass, because that's how he uses the bathroom, and I'd rather him do that than on my carpet or on my floors.
Or on me. But before we go, as we try to end every episode, with the weekend coming up and days off and free time, Travis, anything you recommend for the people to consume entertainment-wise, whether it be a book, TV show, movie, even a video game? Anything you recommend for anyone to relax to, unwind?
Yeah, the Super Bowl still hasn't happened at time of recording. But
we already recommended it, so we're not going to recommend it again. You get one. Let's see.
Yeah, there's a joke there about Kendrick's song, Turn This TV Off, Turn This TV Off, which is what he says right after he yells, Mustard!
How about this? A comic book. Do you I know you're more the comic book guy than me. What's a comic book?
Okay. Comic book. Okay. Yeah.
For someone to just enjoy over 2 days off.
I'm trying to think. What have I actually read that's on topic? I don't think I've read anything that's on topic. So I'll just say one indie comic I read. A couple indie comics I read. They're from the same writer and artist. They're both about animals. They're both about like domesticated animals. Tony Fleeks and Trish Forrester.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote a comic book called Stray Dogs. So
that's a good one.
Stray Dogs is great. It's like a horror. They're both horror. Both of these things are horror. They wrote Stray Dogs and they wrote Feral, and Feral's actually ongoing, whereas Stray Dogs is like kind of a one off.
Okay,
but they're both like. You're acting like you haven't read these.
Well, I'm just listening again to the review. Okay. Oh, I've read them.
You've read these.
I was like, no, it's good. Like, yeah.
Stray Dogs is like, it's kind of like Silence of the Lambs meets All Dogs Go to Heaven. It's like, it's about like a group of dogs who have short-term memory, as all dogs do. If you have a dog, you know this. They wake up in a house all together. And they slowly, as their memories come back, they slowly discover that their new master in their house in the middle of nowhere is actually a serial killer. And then the second book is Feral. This one's about cats. It's essentially The Aristocats meets 28 Days Later.
Oh, damn. That's awesome. I like that description.
Yeah. No, am I right?
Especially with the movie coming out at the end of the at the middle of the, oh, yeah, the summertime.
28 years later. Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, it's, yeah. Aristocats meets 28 days later. It's like a bunch of cat, a bunch of like domesticated cats. Long story short, get turned loose into a forest in the midst of like a terrible rabies outbreak, and of which a lot of animals are like infected with the rabies virus and are basically effectively zombies.
You know. Bats are the freakiest part of that
book. That bat scene.
That bat scene was insane.
So, you know, it's the cats. They're trying to get home and trying to figure out, you know, why they were surrendered to animal control and just trying to survive the night. That's a great book. Those are both great books. Those are great horror. They're about dogs and cats. So if you love dogs and cats and you're okay with watching them get maimed...
In detail,
with art that looks like Disney art.
That's what's awesome about it.
That's like the insane.
That's what I love about it. It's so Disney-esque.
Yeah, like they have all the animals have like these Disney eyes that you expect from like a Disney movie
with a shotgun pointed at them.
That's what makes those books like extra disturbing to read.
And so our viewers know, what are they called again? The two titles?
Yeah, Stray Dogs and Feral by Tony Fleeks and Trish Forrester.
Get them wherever comic books are sold.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's see. What do I have to recommend? You know, I'm going to recommend a video game. Okay. Hopefully you have the necessary console to play it. I've been having a lot of fun playing it. Resident Evil 4 Remake.
Mmm.
If you were lucky enough to play the original on the GameCube, PS2, you know Resident Evil 4 was basically the best Resident Evil game ever made. Now, they remade it completely from the ground up, and it is basically Dark Souls. And it's awesome. It's fun. I'm playing my second playthrough. Super gory, not for the kids. Super more high, intense action, faster pace. The economy in it is great. How you trade, you sell. Crafting is way more detailed, and I am running out of consumables all the time. And I am a little trigger happy, unfortunately. So, yeah, ammo is scarce, and even more scarce. And it's worth a playthrough. It's fun. Good story. Very more streamlined compared to the original. But I think everyone would enjoy it, old fans and those who are just new to the series. So I recommend Resident Evil 4 Remake on basically every single console except the Switch, so you can get on the PS4, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, Xbox Series S, all the Xboxes.
I think you could get it on PC.
And PC and, obviously, the PS5. So, yeah, pick it up. It's a fun 8-hour thrill ride. It's like an 8-hour linear roller coaster ride. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there isn't.
So, once again, folks, thank you for joining us on another episode of Give Us the Launch Codes. I'm Tom Flores.
I'm Travis. I'm Travis Baker, and, touch grass every so often, okay? And be sure to drink water, too. Never forget to drink water.
And get an In-N-Out burger once in a while. Can't go wrong with
if you live near one.
Yeah, if you can get one, get an In-N-Out burger.
If you live near a Whataburger instead, still try to get an In-N-Out burger.
Hey! All right, well, that's our show, folks. We'll see you next time. And like one famous character has said to all of us, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Bye, everyone.